Welcome to the Calvary St. George's Sermon Podcast, proclaiming the historic faith of Christ and Him crucified. These podcasts are recorded and produced by the parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. For more information about our ministries, head to calvarystgeorges.org.
Now may the words that I speak and the words that you hear be in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated, and a very warm welcome to you today to St. George's Church, part of the parish of Calvary St. George's. We are so glad that you're here today to celebrate with us. I wanted to share a story with you. My friend is a priest in Florida, and his church is right on the Atlantic Ocean. And one of the things that they do is they have a sunrise service right on the beach. And then every year they have this little kid, part of their Sunday school, a little kid from their Sunday school class, give the Easter acclamation just as the sun is coming up over the Atlantic. It's very powerful, I hear. And so when everybody, you know, the Lord is risen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. And everybody shouts. And last year he told me they had this huge crowd show up at the beach for their sunrise service. And the kid assigned to give the acclamation was a rambunctious six-year-old who needed no help. I mean, what could go wrong? And so... Well, when the time came to give the shout for the acclamation, he shouted at the top of his lungs into this microphone, "Hallelujah, Christ is in prison." And you know, everybody was like, they didn't know what to do. A few people laughed like you. Some people who were new were like, "The Lord's in prison too?" Or, you know, and they didn't. And so, but I bring this up because that'll preach. So, but the point is that... the reason why I bring this up is because when you think of prison, oftentimes, we don't necessarily think of Jesus per se, but we do think of the word closed. One of the most heart-wrenching words in the English language, closed. And the devastation of this word, actually, when it hits you existentially, is a universal experience which harkens back all the way to the very beginning of the biblical story when God and when Adam and Eve fell. And this shared tragic experience because of human sin, when Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden and were exposed and vulnerable. And this word close has spoken to us all ever since. Perhaps you were in what was going to be the relationship of your dreams. This was the person you were going to marry, or maybe the person you did get married to. And everything began to fall apart. And that relationship you heard over, it was closed. It was heart-wrenching. Maybe for you, it's a relationship with a member of the family that broke down, and now over it you've experienced something that says closed. You've been in a job, maybe, for your whole life, where you've given everything. Your best years, you worked late at night, long weekends, you were available by email, you know, especially on your vacation, hoping to get that promotion that didn't come about. As a matter of fact, you realize now you're about as high as it's gonna go. And for that, you're beginning to hear the word closed. This is my first point. And if you've never heard closed over your life, just hang on, it's coming. but if you've ever heard those heart-wrenching words closed come down on you, especially that which is the most important thing in your life, your identity, your job, a relationship, well, then you can relate deeply to the feelings of the disciples on that first Easter Sunday. You can relate deeply to the experience of Mary Magdalene, Simon Peter, and John that first Easter morning as they went to the tomb and thought, closed. For on that first Easter morning, there were no hymns of triumph. There were no shouts of alleluia. There were no peeps or the ringing of bells. On the first Easter Sunday morning, there was only heartbreak because the man who they had called teacher, Rabboni, the man who had performed all of these miracles, the man who had made the claim to be God, had been tried, found guilty, and crucified and buried before their very eyes. Jesus, the man who had given them their identity, was placed in a tomb, and the Romans took a giant stone and put their seal on top of it just to let the whole world know that when it comes to God, when it came to their identity, their sense of being loved, their sense of being valued, closed. Death was the final word. And how many of us have been there where we felt like death was the final word? The women came to the tomb to finish a hasty burial from Friday. And so when they saw that large stone rolled and the tomb was open, they were totally perplexed. They were perplexed and they were confused and they were frightened. They thought maybe foul play. This is the word when Peter goes into the tomb to look. The word for Greek is testimoni. He began to investigate. None of this makes sense. And this is because dead people don't rise from the dead. This had shaken their world. And this is my second point. While death is the universal experience of closed, and death exposes our fragility as humans, it reveals a sadness of life and uncovers our vulnerability. But understanding that truth, that we are vulnerable, that we are creatures, understanding that truth is the beginning of understanding the truth and the profound meaning of the resurrection and the power of Easter Sunday. In his memoir, the German theologian Paul Tillich talks about how growing up, he led what he described as a pampered and troubled-free life of a young man. Then World War I broke out, and I don't know if you've ever seen the original All Quiet on the Western Front, but he was like one of those young men. He signed up romantically and enthusiastically and joined a battalion. However, the reality of war woke him up to something different when 3/4 of his battalion were killed in the course of that war. Emotionally cold and apathetic, during a period of leave, he went to a museum in Berlin. And in an upper room, on a rainy day, he came across this painting. Sandro Botticelli's Madonna and Child with 8 singing angels. And in the coldness of his heart, because all he had experienced in this war was closed, he said this: on meeting the wise, fragile, compassionate gaze of the Virgin, I began to surprisingly sob. I experienced at that moment revelatory ecstasy, tears welling up in my eyes at the distinction between the exceptionally tender atmosphere of the picture and the barbarous lessons I learned in the trenches. And this is true. It's in dialogue with our fragility. And as New Yorkers, we don't like to do that because fragility is a weakness and this city runs on strength. But the truth is that it's in dialogue with the reality of our fragility. It's being in touch with our sadness and the experience of vulnerability that the joy of Easter, the reality of an empty tomb, ultimately acquires its value. Because the empty tomb, Christ risen, the gospel tells us that the greatest enemy, the source of all closure of life, has been defeated and conquered. And now for us as Christians, death no longer has a sting, but is the necessary transition into eternal life. You see, when those women walked into that empty tomb, they set foot into a new creation and caught a glimpse of what was to come. resurrection, to real life. And in the empty tomb, those first disciples heard the triumphal message of the gospel, that Christ had conquered death, that he was risen just as he said he would. And what they heard that day, and what you hear proclaimed to you today, is that in an ultimate sense, closure is over. For because of Jesus, eventually all the dead will rise, and in him stand justified. The tomb is your receipt. The empty tomb is your receipt that you will stand justified before God, and that everlasting life is indeed yours as well. And this is my third point. Acquaintance with closure and grief is oftentimes the unusual prerequisite of appreciating and understanding the meaning and the significance of Jesus' empty tomb. The meaning and the ultimate significance of the gospel, where God opens the door to everlasting life for us, and we behold by faith that he has made all things new. And this ultimately is why we come to church, not just on Easter, but every Sunday. Because here we know that by his resurrection, Jesus' claims to be the Son of God and the Christ stand firm. And because of the resurrection, God's word of love and forgiveness to you is sure. And in Christ, God's promise of eternal salvation is certain. We come to this place to worship. We come to this place and we meet Jesus in bread that is his body and wine that is his blood. Because simply put, in a world with so much closure, it is here in this place we hear the gospel is true, and that in Jesus Christ, the doors to everlasting life, the doors to the forgiveness of your sins, the doors to the peace that passes all understanding are open to you and will always be so. So come today. Come to the altar. Receive the body and blood of Jesus. For the Father's arms are open wide for you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast, produced and recorded at the Parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. If you feel led to support the continuing ministry of our parish, we would really appreciate it. You can make a one-time or recurring gift by going to calvarystgeorges.org/give. Thank you for your support.